Well, everybody that I know loves a good story. I don't know about you, but I do. In the category of stories, there are many different kinds of stories. There are stories that are historical events that actually happened, and they're recorded for posterity. There are also stories that are fictional, completely fabricated so they can make a point or they can entertain us. And then there are stories that actually happened. And often that same scenario of the story happens over and over again as time passes. Stories are a great way to convey a point, to share something you want somebody else to know. The beautiful thing about a Bible story is that it always teaches us something about God. Whether it's a historical event recorded in the Bible or whether it's a parable, every single Bible story makes a point that lets us know about a particular principle God is trying to teach us or to demonstrate to us. And the best part about a Bible story is that the same scenario can and does, and oftentimes is quite frequently repeated in our own lives or even in history. There's one Bible story that fits the situation we find ourselves in today here in the United States of America. It's the same as if a historical account of our nation had been written down in a book and laid beside this historical account in the Old Testament. It's amazing how many parallels are between our history and that of the time of Gideon. In the Bible, we find that Gideon was a man that was sent from God during a time which the Israelites had been misbehaving. They had fallen into idolatry and found themselves worshiping idols. And Gideon was sent as God's means of delivering the Israelis from the hands of the Midianites and their enemies that were oppressing them. Gideon's story is found in the book of Judges, chapter 6 through 8. I'm only going to read a few verses today as our text verse to get you the idea of the story, but I encourage you to read all three chapters of Judges, chapter 6, 7, and 8. Beginning at chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." The words of Gideon's story have a truly eerily feeling to them, don't they? It almost sounds like we're reading from the front page of the newspaper here in America. Americans have done evil for many decades. The envelope has been pushed so far over the past few decades, there's no longer an envelope to push. Sexual sin and sexual confusion abounds. Babies by the millions are being murdered in their mother's womb before they ever take their first breath of air. Now the enemies of the United States are oppressing our country in ways that we've never seen before, even from within. The incoming administration is promising less religious freedom in the name of equality and more mandated people control in the name of staying safe. How far is all of this going to go? Where will it all end? How's it going to affect our churches, and how's it going to affect our businesses and our lives? How's it going to affect us as Americans? Well, there's only one thing in the world that will determine the answer to all of these things, and I believe it with all of my heart. That one thing is the response of Christians in America. We alone can make that decision, either by our inaction or by our action. You see, the exact same thing was happening in Israel in this Old Testament passage. The same scenario. The only difference is the time that separates the two events. You see, in the Old Testament scenario that I read to you, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the oppression of the Midianites and the Amorites, and God answered their cry for help. Will God do the same thing for us today in America? Well, the answer is obviously, He certainly will. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you see, it really is up to us to make the difference? Do we cry out to God, or do we continue to ignore Him? The story of Gideon starts out with God being very unhappy with His people in Israel. You see, God had saved their ancestors and delivered them from the Pharaoh. You remember all the stories in Exodus about how God delivered them through the wilderness and across the Red Sea on dry ground. Just a few hundred years later, the descendants of those whom God had blessed had forgotten about God's deliverance, and here they were, worshiping idols. You say, well, that's horrible. That's worse than anything going on in America. But let me tell you something. It is the same thing. The only difference is the idols that the people of Israel were worshiping were made of gold. The idols that people in America are worshiping are made of greed and lust and power. It's all the same. They're all idols because they're all in front of God as far as our worship is concerned. So where do you suppose the children of Israel went wrong that just a few hundred years later, these descendants of those delivered from captivity would be worshiping idols? How did they go wrong? Well, it almost certainly had to be a failure, at least partially, of the parents to teach the things of God to their kids. We have to remember it's easy to forget God during times of affluence and prosperity. But, you know, we always manage to think about Him during times of pestilence and oppression, don't we? That's a little bit of human nature, but it's also a very bad thing because it leads us into a lot of trouble. It happened in Israel, and it's happening again in the United States of America. Now, there are always consequences for our sinful deeds. Even though we might not see these consequences immediately upon committing a sin, they're always there, and they always will be. And at some point, you can count on it, they're going to show their ugly head. God's chosen people, the Israelites, were allowed to be conquered by the wicked Midianites because they pushed the envelope out of existence, just like we've done here in the USA. Will God allow America to fall to an enemy because of our sin? Well, that possibility is very real today, and even more real than ever before. As it looks like, if we're going to fall, we'll fall from within, just as the Israelites did. For you see, they fell from within when they abandoned God. Did you ever notice in the story that it was only after the Israel got down to the bottom, when they had nothing left, that's when they finally cried out to God for help? Even so, God still heard their cry. He always does hear our cry when we call out, even if we've ignored Him. Yet when we were in sin, Christ loves us. He still loves us. And you know, in my mind, this is actually the main part of the whole story, was the timing of when they called out for help from God. You see, only when there was nothing left to do, they called on God. America called on God on 9/11. The days after that, even Congress stood on the steps at the Capitol building having a prayer vigil. It's amazing. Churches were packed that weekend, but it didn't take long and we were back to business as normal and falling further away from God than ever. And now, just 9.5 years later, look how far we have fallen from that day to now. Only when there's nothing left do we often call on God. And ladies and gentlemen, it appears like there's nothing left in America to do except call on God. And the question is, will we do it now or will we wait until America falls to call upon God? Now, that's where the story gets interesting with the Israelites, because they waited. And now you're going to find out what happens when you wait. When we look at Gideon, we can find the answers to why that happened. You see, Gideon was threshing wheat in a hidden place so that the Midianites wouldn't see him and steal his wheat when an angel of the Lord appeared and sat next to him. Now you see, it's already happened. The country of Israel has already fallen. They've hidden in caves. They waited, worshiping idols, until the Midianites conquered them. And then God delivered them. But you see, I'm convinced that it happened because of when the Israelites called upon God. And the key here is, when will we call upon God? Well, with Gideon, the angel spoke to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Because you see, Some of them were crying out to God. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why is all this bad stuff happening to our people?" Does that sound familiar? Why is all the bad things happening in America? Why is the economy collapsing? Why is everything around us falling apart? Where are the miracles our fathers talked about? You know, the people that crossed the Red Sea. Where are they? We don't see those miracles anymore. You know, the church in America is saying the same thing. We don't see the same kind of miracles we saw years ago when this country was young. When this country was young, God delivered us in spite of all of the adversity and all of the odds being against us and all of those things, God delivered us. Same thing was happening there. And Gideon doubted God. You see, God's reply to Gideon seemed strange to him because God said, "You go with all your strength and save Israel from the Midianites. Have I not sent you to do it?" Well, stop and think about that. If God called you to save America, then how would you feel? Would you think maybe he was talking to you? Would you understand? Would you agree? Well, I have to tell you, that's a fearful thing to be called to do something big like that, isn't it? I know that when God called me to serve in the Lord in the ministry, to give up a wonderful career that I had right out of high school that promised me wealth and a great way to work with IBM in Atlanta, Georgia, I was planning to work there, and my idea of the rest of my life would be wearing a white smock and carrying a briefcase into work and driving a Beamer sitting in the parking lot. That's what I thought of in the 1970s. God had other plans. He called me to the ministry. And when he did, it meant a lot of life changes. It meant that I went from a job that started me off with a very nice salary plus an educational opportunity to improve my education and grow with the company that I would be hired for. But, you know, I left that and chose to follow God for $2 an hour on campus scrubbing toilets and waxing floors to pay my way through school. So you see, sometimes it is a little scary when God calls you to do something. Imagine what Gideon must have felt like. I had a little bit of an idea what it was like back then when God called me to the ministry. Maybe you've had an experience like that. You know, I think that God probably smiled when Gideon said, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? My people are the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the smallest and the youngest in my family." You know, I think I probably said something like that when God called me to the ministry. And I think if God called me to save America, I know I would say the same thing right now. How about you? But, you know, when God smiled, he also said, "I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites with me by your side. We'll do it together." That's what God was saying to Gideon. And Gideon, because he doubted that God was who had actually spoken to him, he thought maybe he was imagining all of this or just wishful thinking. He wanted to be certain it was really God that was talking to him. And Gideon decided to prepare an altar as an offering for God. He set his offering, the meat and unleavened bread, down on a rock, and a fire came down from the rock and completely consumed the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. At that point, Gideon realized this indeed was the angel of the Lord. Well, that same night, the Lord told Gideon to take down the altar his father had built to the false god Baal that they were worshiping, and to cut down the Asherah pole. That's a pole that was for another idol that the people were worshiping. So Gideon took 10 of his servants during the night. He was afraid he'd be caught during the day by the people in town. He tore down those altars. He cut down the Asherah pole. And when they woke up the next morning, they were making an offering to God. The people were angry when they realized that Gideon had wrecked their altars to Baal. And they decided, after some discussion, that maybe Baal, if he was really a god, he'd be the one to punish Gideon for doing this. And of course, nothing ever happened to Gideon because Baal is a false god. Some maybe thought that Baal was just too busy to deal with the incident. I can't imagine what excuses they had as to why their false god didn't answer their prayers. Can you? Must have been much like Elijah on Mount Carmel when Baal was challenged there and he began to mock those who served Baal by saying, "Where is Baal? Is he asleep? Is he on a journey? He's out somewhere. You maybe need to yell a little louder." He mocked them, and I can see Gideon taking the same kind of stance at this point, even though the Bible doesn't say he did it. It'd kind of make me feel like doing that, wouldn't it, you? Well, God still wanted to, Gideon still wanted to make sure it was God that was speaking to him about doing this, so he decided to place a fleece of wool on the ground at night. He prayed and asked God to show him it was him by placing dew only on the fleece, but all the ground around it be dry, and he'd know it was God who had called him to save the Israelites. Next morning, he checked the fleece. He wrung out a bowl of water from the fleece. The ground around it was dry. But Gideon still wasn't convinced, and he asked God to show him one more sign. He asked the second time that the fleece be dry and the ground around it be wet. Sure enough, the next morning, that's exactly what happened. So Gideon from there followed God. He gathered up an army and he started out for the Midianite camp. Gideon was probably feeling pretty good about the way things were looking at this point. You know, he had 33,000 men with him to fight, and God had promised him he'd help him with a victory. But God had something different in mind. You know, I've learned that when I get up in the morning, that if I come to God and say, Lord, today I have plan A, plan B, and plan C. You can take your pick, whichever one you want for the day. Every single time I do that, God says, we're going to do it my way, plan D. That's God, and that's the way he did it with Gideon. God said he had something different in mind. He told Gideon he had too many men in his army. So God said to Gideon, announce to your people, anybody who's afraid, go home. Amazingly, 22,000 out of 33,000, out of 32,000 left. And there was only 10,000 stayed behind. 10,000 men. Well, he still felt okay about the situation. After all, they still had 10,000 men. So, you know, they could still defeat the Midianites. God spoke to Gideon, said, you still got too many people. So they went down to the water for a drink. And the Lord told Gideon to separate the men that drink from the water with their face in the water like a dog lapping water from the ones that get on their knees and drink water from their cupped hands. I'm thinking it took a while to go through 10,000 men, don't you? See them doing that, but Gideon did it. And the surprise was that there were only 300 left when it was all done. Starting with 32,000 men, now there's 300 men left. Can you imagine what went through Gideon's mind? You know, Gideon was afraid, I think, at that point. Fear began to set in. Let me tell you something about fear. Fear is a powerful thing. Fear is something that, first of all, is natural to an extent. It's natural to be afraid when you're startled, when you get bad news, when you're about to go into the hospital under the knife. It's okay to be afraid. But it's not okay to let that fear dominate you. And that's what happened to Gideon. He did not let fear dominate him. I'm sure he was afraid. But God helped him with his fear, and here's how he did it. That same night, God spoke to Gideon. He said, if you're still afraid that I'm going to help you to win, I want you to go down to the valley with your servant Purah, where the Midianites are camping, and I want you to listen to what's being said right now. You'll feel much better after that, God said. So guess what Gideon did? He was afraid. He took Purah down. They snuck into the Midianite camp, and just as he arrived, he heard one of the Midianites talking to a friend about a dream he had had. This Midianite said, I dreamt that a round loaf of bread came rolling into our camp, and it came in so fast, it crashed into one of our tents and caused it to collapse. What a dream. Imagine that. Well, his Midianite friend sitting there responded, this can only mean one thing. That by the sword of the Lord, God will help him to defeat us, the Midianites. Well, when Gideon heard this, he worshiped God. I could imagine. If that had been me and I had been in that situation, I think it would have been all I could do to keep my mouth shut and fall on the ground and say, thank you, Lord. Gideon ran back to the camp and he said, get up. It's time to go. God has given us the Midianite camp. Gideon divided his 300 men into three groups of 100 and gave them all trumpets, empty clay pots, and torches lit under those clay pots. Gideon and his three camps of men surrounded the camp of Midianites in their groups of 100 apiece. And remember, from their perch, they were higher up than the Midianites, looking down at the Midianites' camp in the valley below. Gideon blew his trumpet. The rest of the men followed and blew their trumpets. They all stood their ground, never moving from the spot, as then they broke their clay pots, held up those torches, and began to yell over and over and over, the sword of the Lord, and Gideon and blow those trumpets. When the Midianites heard this, they started yelling and running around and frightened out of their minds. They thought they were being invaded. The Midianites completely freaked out, to use a modern term, and they turned on each other with their own swords and they literally took their own lives. They slew themselves from fear. You know, I said fear is a thing that can destroy you. When fear gets out of control, that's what you do. The Midianites apparently were already afraid because of what Gideon had heard them say. But now they proved it, because when they thought they were being attacked by Gideon and all that army around him, probably they did think there were 30,000 men there. They slew themselves. There were a few who survived, and the men of Ephraim by the Jordan captured them, because Gideon had sent messengers ahead to tell them to let them know they were coming. You see, they won the battle because Gideon was faithful to God, because Gideon followed the Lord, and the people of Israel followed Gideon. You know what? I don't know if we can save America or not, but I know this much. We can make a difference in one person's life, one soul at a time. That can be done. Once upon a time, while walking along a beach, a wise and elderly man saw a child in the distance who was bending over, picking up something and throwing it into the ocean. As the old man got closer, he noticed that the figure was that of a young boy. He was picking up starfish one at a time and tossing each one gently back into the water. As the older man came closer, he called out, "Good morning, lad. May I ask what it is that you're doing?" The young boy paused. He looked up at the old man and he replied, "I'm throwing these starfish back into the ocean." The old man smiled and said, "Well, I must ask then, why are you throwing the starfish back into the ocean?" The little boy replied, "The sun is up. The tide is going out. If I don't throw them back in the water, they will die." Upon hearing this, the old man commented, "But young man, do you not realize that there are miles and miles of beach and there are literally thousands of starfish along every mile of the way? You can't possibly make a difference with all these starfish." The young boy listened politely. He bent down, picked up another starfish, and gently tossed it back into the ocean, past the breaking waves. He smiled and said, "It made a difference for that one." Well, you know, we might not be able to save everybody that we come across, might not be able to reach them all for Christ. There may even be some that are close to us that never respond to the gospel. But you know what? We can make a difference with just one person if we try, if we put forth the effort. Never give up on those who are lost. Never give up on those who need Christ. Never give up that God will deliver us from the hands of the enemy as a person, as a family, as a church, and yes, as a nation. We all need the Savior.